So a few Rashis for Shir HaSayam, Shvi Shel Pesach, coincides with Shabbos. Very interesting that the Pasuk that describes Hashem as waging war, very well-known Pasuk, Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemok, is that the Yamsuf, if there was real war, chariots, steeds, wasn't directly against the Egyptian citizenry. Chazal tell us that some of the Kriyas Yamsuf impacted those who remained behind in Mitzrayim, but primarily it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeating the Egyptian armies, Sus, Verachvo, Rama, Vayam, a lot of warfare, chariots are being dismembered or discorporated, the wheels are falling off, they're getting stuck in the mud. This is real warfare between Pharaoh's Revolutionary Guards, his select army, and the Rabboni Shalom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates that he's an Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemo. And it's necessary for the Jews, of course, to see Hashem as waging war, because in a few weeks, again, according to the original plan, they were going to wage war with 30-plus kingdoms, barbaric, warlock kingdoms in the land of Canaan. But Rashi has two interesting elements that he notes in the Pasuk. Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemo. What does that last phrase add? Hashem Ish Milchama, Hashem Shemo. So Rashi comments, quotes one idea that Hashem fights not with arms and with weapons, but with his name and in his name. Davar acher, af b'shar shehu nilcham v'nokem me'oyevav, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking vengeance and reparations and retribution from the enemies of the Jewish people who are ultimately his enemies. Ochesu b'midasu l'rachem al-buraf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still shows rachmanas, v'lazman is kol bohi olam. This is a moment at the Yam Suf in which Am Yisrael sees both sides of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The punitive side, administering punishment to those who deserve it, and the compassionate side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, facilitating the safe and comfortable passage of the Jewish people through the dried out beds, ocean beds, in comfort, in safety, in security. This is important for two reasons. First of all, because in Mitzrayim, most of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presentation was punitive, was penalties and punishments and breaking the will and imposing suffering on the Egyptians. And being that Mitzrayim is the debut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the ancient world, it's important that Hashem not be cast as solely angry and vengeful, because that's how the ancients viewed their gods, as grotesque figures in heaven, angry, full of vile hatred towards human beings, treating them with whim and caprice. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to be seen at the Yam Suf as both Ish Milchama, but also Hashem Shema, as a caring, loving Hashem. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu escorts the Jewish people. It's almost like Hashem divides it into two. It would have been very easy, or easy-ish, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to defeat the Egyptians in some other way. But it's the very same ocean, which is the scene of, or the cemetery of dead Egyptian soldiers, which becomes the safe passage of the Jews through waters that have been stilled, ocean beds that have been dried. So it's the very same Yam Suf that becomes a source of death and a source of life and a source of prosperity and passage for the Jews. And of course, not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is cast as a kind and compassionate Hashem, but also that he's both the source of bracha as well as the source of onesh, something which, again, in the ancient mind, we take for granted because we're already steeped in monotheism. But to the ancient mind, wasn't obvious, wasn't apparent. And Am Yisrael, as well as the world, because Yam Suf is an international event, unlike the Makos in Mitzrayim, which probably had very little airtime outside of Mitzrayim, the world is seeing at the Yam Suf a Hashem who cares and a Hashem who punishes, and realizing that Hashem is the source of both good and evil and the source of all treatment of human beings, something which wasn't obvious in Mitzrayim. Most of the Makos, as we call them, were plagues, were penalties, were punishments for the Egyptians. That's why this pasuk is so iconic. Hashem Ish Milchama, but also Hashem Shema. Kadosh Baruch Hu is also supporting life, protecting life, preserving life, and providing safe passage in a way that far exceeds practical measures. It wasn't just that practically we had to pass through the Yam Suf, but the drying of the bed and the safe passage of the Jews and the easy passage of the Jews conveyed this duality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both as we call it Midas Hashem, Midas HaRacham, and Midas HaDin. Or another instance, which Rashi notes this, is when the hand of Hashem, and there's a lot of anthropomorphism at the Yam Suf. There's a lot of description of Hashem through physical terms, something which in a philosophical level would be impossible. If we stop ourselves and ask, is Hashem physical? Does he have a hand? Of course he doesn't, but yet he's described as Yad Chazaka. If we ask, does Hashem have breath? Of course he doesn't. Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu bowled over the Egyptians with his breath. If we ask, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu a person? He's not, yet he's described as Hashem Ishmael Chama. And if we ask, does Hashem have a right hand? Of course he doesn't have a right hand, but yet Yimincha Hashem Nadari Bakoach, Yimincha Hashem Tirats Oyev. So because it's poetry rather than philosophy, and poetry is an outburst of emotions, we're not trying to describe Hashem, we're trying to feel close to Hashem. We can feel closer to Hashem if we imagine him as possessing physical traits. So Rashi comments, the very same hand, Osa Yamin Atzma Tirats Oyev, the same hand that facilitated and safeguarded the Jews, Nedari Bakorach, which was glorified in its strength and in its love, was the same hand that defeated and dismembered the enemy. Osa Yamin Atzma Tirats Oyev, Mashi'ef Sharla Adam Asa Shtem Elachos Be'arachas. Not only can one hand not perform two actions, but the two separate actions. One is to protect the Jews, one is to punish the Egyptians. So the Amsud becomes a moment in which Am Yisrael, and of course an international audience, was able to sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was both the source of punishment for humans who err, as well as the source of compassion and mercy for those he loves, and those, of course, his children, Am Yisrael. So it's an interesting Rashi, both on the pasuk of Hashem Ish Milchama Hashem Shemo, that Hashem is not just warring with the Egyptians, but he's having rachamim Hashem Shemo on his people, or Yimincha Hashem Nadari Bakoach, Yimincha Hashem Tirat Zoyev. Another interesting Rashi on a very iconic pasuk is Zechi Levi Andeu. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu so clearly, they could literally point him with their fingers. Again, a way that suggests that Hashem is palpable. Of course, Hashem is impalpable, but this is a metaphor. They saw Hashem so clearly. But what does the word Vianveu mean? So classically, Chazal had two drushas, which Rashi, interestingly enough, does not quote. One drusha is to perform mitzvot in a very aesthetic and pleasing manner. Hisno'el lefanav b'mitzvos, a nice sefer Torah, nice tefillin, nice tzitzis, nice matzah, nice lola. Another approach, which the Gemara discusses in Shabbos, is to try to be v'anveu, which is a conjugation of v'anihu. I want to be more similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, since I can't be similar to Hashem physically, I try to mimic and simulate his moral behavior. Mahu rachum, afata rachum, if God is merciful, we should be merciful. Mahu chanun, afata chanun, what is known in Latin as the concept of imitatio dei, to imitate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says something a little bit different here. After he quotes Onkelos, and Onkelos interprets the word vianveo as a reference to the Beis HaMikdash, Rashi says, Davar achar vianveo lashan noi, beauty, spread the gospel, as we would say, asaper noyav ushvacho leboy olam. I want to spread knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the rest of the world. This is an awakening of the Jewish voice. This is an awakening of the Jewish spirit. Until now, they were slaves. They had nothing to say. But the Yamsu of HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired to hear their voice. The famous pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Hashmini es Kolech, Harini es Marayich. But somehow it dawns on them, they have a role to play. They're not just recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's salvation, but they're also enablers and authors and preachers, and they'll be able to spread word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to others. And this dawns on them in part because they realize that the Yamsu is an international event, which others will be aware of, will be informed of. Again, the events in Mitzrayim were probably very insular and national, and they had no sense that others would discover them. But there's an empowerment here at the Yam Suf. And that empowerment is served by HaKadosh Baruch Hu returning after a week of fear, after a week of uncertainty. It's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had abandoned them for a week, but keep in mind, they were not yet eating the man, so they were still eating their leftover matzos. They were traveling, they were frightened by the impending approach of the Egyptian army. And now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had returned, he wasn't just liberating them and abandoning them, but he was actually escorting them. And this is conveyed by the very physical sense of passing the Yam, traversing the sea, traveling somewhere. Now they're on a journey. They're not just escaping from Mitzrayim, settling in the desert. They're part of a larger journey. And part of that journey is to tell their story, and part of their story is to inform an entire world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there is an imaginative awakening, or as we would say, an awakening of the imagination at the Yam Suf, which doesn't happen in Mitzrayim. As exciting and as explosive as Mitzrayim is, they first wake up to this role that they have of Zechi Levi Anveu at the Yam Suf. So Rashi quotes the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mado Deich Midod, where the nations of the world ask us, what does your husband look like? And we respond, Not exactly clear why Rashi quotes this pasuk in Shir Hashirim as opposed to other pasukim, but this is probably the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, which there's the most frontal inquiry of Am Yisrael, what is Hashem like? And we respond, Dodi Tzach V'Adam. There's another interesting Rashi, not just recognizing the two sides or the all-encompassing and exclusive nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Ish Mechama, warring against the Egyptians, but also compassion, but there's an awakening of the imaginative, the Jewish imagination, and the role the Jews have in spreading the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to an entire world audience. Now, third Rashi, which is interesting, is the first Rashi of Shir HaSiyam. Az Yashir Moshe. It's a strange conjugation. Then Moshe Rabbeinu and Am Yisrael saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's redundant because if the Torah is describing this as occurring on the Yamsah, of course the word Az is implied. When the Torah dates or tags a certain event or date, then we know when it occurs. Otherwise, we just assume it happened in the context or the backdrop in which it's presented by the Torah. So what is the Torah adding when it says, Az Yashir Moshe? So Rashi actually says two things. One is Az Kishara HaNes. So the word Az captures how spontaneous it was. And Shira has to be spontaneous. It isn't planned. It's an emotional outburst. It's a sense that you're living through a special time and sometimes your heart is closed to the spectacular nature of those events. Sometimes your heart is open. Shira Chadasha Shibchu Geulin, living through Geula, requires Hallel, requires Shira. And those of us who feel we're living through a similar process in the modern world, that's why we feel there's a need to change our Shira and to alter our Shira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shira Chadasha Shibchu Geulin. But there's a second phrase that's interesting, and that's the word Yashir. If the Torah is documenting past historical events, it should write Az Shar Moshe, Az Sharu Az. Why does it say Az Yashir? They will. And in fact, this is so odd and so unexpected that Chazal see this as a sign or as a hint for Tchias HaMeisim, for resurrection, that one day all the righteous people will be resurrected and will thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for remembering them and for returning them to life. Az Yashir, one of the moments in the Torah that there's a shout-out or a hint of Tchias HaMeisim. But Rashi, before he gets to that drasha, says something a little different. That the word Yashir always connotes an emotional or mental decision. Az Yedaber Yehoshua. Yehoshua Perak Yud. So the word Yedaber doesn't document the event, it documents the decision. Or Az Yashir Yisrael in Parshas Chukas. Rashi's interpretation is Allah Belibo. That the Torah is not describing the song, it's describing the decision. I'm trying to find the language where Rashi says this. Rashi says, Chashav Belibo Lasosla. Anytime you have the future rather than the documentation of an event, it's describing Al Shem HaMachshava Nemru, based on the decision of the person, not the actual event to sing or other events that were taken. Which begs the question, why does the Torah describe the decision rather than the song? Why doesn't the Torah... Okay, so Rashi has created two different grammatical modes. One word would describe the singing, Az Sharu. One word would describe the decision, Az Yashir, that Moshe made the decision. Why would the Torah want to describe the decision? It seems as if that human beings have to decide how to interpret grand events. And grand events could be interpreted in a humdrum fashion and can be minimized. And Chazal were very critical of Chizkiah for minimizing the nisim that he saw and not saying Shira. Or human beings can make a decision. It could be a mental decision. It could be an emotional decision. These events matter. I'm going to process these events rather than disengage or rather than, as we would say, sweep these events under the carpet or minimize these events or trivialize these events. So the Torah is describing not the singing, the Torah is describing the decision. We would think that it's just so spontaneous and so obvious, and at the Yamsev was so obvious to sing Shira Tashem, there's still a decision. And that decision is based on faith, and that decision is based on imagination, and that decision is based on prophecy. And the Torah wants to inform us that it isn't obvious to say Shira as much as we would think it is. And human beings have to absorb and process the nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for them, and then decide to say their Shira. So, three interesting Rashis. One is that the Yamsuf, they saw Hashem as in Ish Milcham Hashem Shemo, both as Midas HaRachamim and Midas HaDin, and they were starting to realize that there's one source for both good and evil in this world. There's only one source for all of reality. I'll add that, of course, the word Ish suggests that Hashem was also their husband, even though Rashi labors to divert our attention away from the husbanding or the husbandry tone of Ish. And he informs us the word Ish means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing warfare, controlling warfare. It's clear that Torah is interested in using the word Ish to describe the love, the romance that was initiated in Mitzrayim, but is starting to blossom. And in Shir HaShirim, there are several images surrounding the Yam Suf, which suggests that the marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael is being ratcheted up at the Yam Suf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the male, calls his woman and says, your cheeks are like the chariots of Paro. Now, of course, for us, that wouldn't be a compliment that your cheeks look like ancient Egyptian chariots. But in the context of Shir HaShirim, both at the literal level as well as the Midrashic level, the chariots are probably very uniform, very smooth, very efficient, very golden. So, but the fact that the male in Shir HaShirim employs this imagery suggests that at the Yam Suf there was romance, and that romance between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his people is captured by the word Ish. Second interesting Rashi is Zeke Levi and Zehu. There's a dawning of the imagination. There's an awakening of the imagination that now we have a story to tell, and we're not just recipients of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's liberation, but now we are passing to a different stage. We're passing to different countries. We were travelers. We're travelers both in the literal sense as well as in the metaphoric sense. And finally, the Torah doesn't describe the actual Shira. It describes the decision of Moshe and Am Yisrael to say Shira, Az Yashir, Moshe Uvinei Yisrael. On the one end, it's spontaneous. On the other end, there's a decision because events can be interpreted in many, many ways. Chag Sameach and Shabbat Shalom.